From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. Australia is coming to the end of its worst flu season in at least 5 years. So what does this mean for the United States as we are heading into fall and winter and we come upon our flu season? Well, joining us today to talk more about this is Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, as well as a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Now, remember, if you have questions about public health, get them into us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
So before we get to the latest in COVID-19, Dr. Pate, let's talk about influenza. And I know we've mentioned this on the program before, but we're learning more about what's happened in Australia. And things have been bad, frankly, there.
Yes, they have. They have reported that this has been the worst flu season for them in the past 5 years. And so that's certainly cause for us to take it seriously. What happens in the summer, in our summer, their winter, in the southern hemisphere, is not always a direct correlation, but it's a pretty good indicator. So we would expect that we're likely going to have a rough flu season this year.
Okay, so looking at that then, what do you think we should be preparing for here in Idaho? I mean, we could look broadly at the United States, but also here in the Gem State.
Yeah, well, we are starting to see cases pick up in the United States. And as is typical for influenza, it's starting out in our southern states. So right now, the state with the greatest activity is Texas, followed by Georgia. But there's also significant influenza activity in Washington, D.C., and so not much in Idaho yet, and that's not unusual. Typically, it starts in other parts of the country, and we'll get ours. Last year, our big pickup in influenza was really in January, at mid to late January. So, you know, for people that live in the southern United States or travel to the southern United States, this is a good time to go ahead and get your flu shot. Idahoans, if you're going to be having a lot of travelers or interaction with people that might be traveling, and especially if you're higher risk, you might want to go ahead and get your flu shot right now, now that we're seeing increased activity. For others who are kind of still in the I'm taking care of myself mode and limiting contacts and protecting myself from COVID, you can probably, unless I say something has changed on future weeks, you can probably wait till closer to the end of this month to get your flu shot. However, if you're going in to your doctor for some reason, if you're not real good about following up and you're going to be there, just go ahead and get the flu shot now so that you don't forget or fail to get it.
Dr. Pate, are you concerned at all that less people will get the flu shot this year? And I ask that because we've had such incredibly mild flu seasons. I mean, in particular, of course, when we were in the midst of COVID and everyone was masking, flu season basically was non-existent. So could there potentially be a false sense of security for people as we go into the winter months?
Yeah, Gemma, I think that's exactly right. I also think that the, you know, coordinated anti-vax campaign that has really been aimed at COVID has likely also hurt us in terms of flu. And you know that there's been a lot of people that spread misinformation or disinformation who are always trying to compare COVID to the flu. And I think the effect of that is both a minimization of COVID, but also a minimization of flu. And so, yes, I'm very concerned about that. We need to remember that flu can certainly be very dangerous for the elderly. It can certainly be very dangerous for a lot of people that have underlying medical conditions. But even if you're perfectly healthy, the flu is not a common cold. You can be very miserable for days to a week or more. So one question is just to ask, can you afford to be off work that long? Mm-hmm. And certainly, like with COVID, if you're going to be around other people that are high risk, even if you don't feel like you're at high risk, please get your flu shot. The other thing is, we do know it is possible to get co-infected with both the flu and COVID, and we know that those people do worse.
So let's talk about the flu vaccine itself. Does it appear to be a good match for the strain of influenza that we've been seeing?
Yeah, Gemma, you know, we never know until flu season's over, yeah. So we can look retrospectively. However, if you were looking at what is circulating, what was circulating in Australia, what is circulating in the United States right now, the overwhelming majority of the influenza in the United States is type A, and a specific type of H3N2, and that is in the vaccine. The B strain that we're seeing in much smaller amounts is also included in the vaccine. So if one were guessing, one would imagine this is probably going to be a reasonably good match for this year. But again, we never know until the end of the flu season.
All right, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about COVID-19. How are we doing here in Idaho?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, Gemma, you and I have talked about the fact that it's a lot harder to know exactly mm-hmm. how we're doing because there's so much less reporting of cases. And of course, because so many people can do at-home tests and those aren't included, we don't have as good an idea as we did previously. If you look at the numbers, certainly cases are coming down. One would imagine, though, that whatever the cases are reported by our Idaho Department of Health and Welfare are probably an underestimate because of all these other cases not included. And so even though we've come down from accelerated community spread, we're now in the a community spread category, that's still a lot of transmission. And what makes me think that the cases are probably giving us a little bit of false reassurance is I look at other factors too to see if everything lines up. And it doesn't all line up. If you look at our testing percentage, you remember we've talked many times about the percent positivity of tests. And we've said that you want that less than 5. You know, it continues to hover around 7 to 8, which is elevated. And it has come down from where it was, but it's kind of plateaued there. So I think that is an indicator that things may be, there may be more transmission than what appears in the numbers. Also, I look at wastewater. And if you look at wastewater, you would expect, especially at this point, if the cases were coming down, we would see a decrease in the wastewater COVID sampling, and it's plateaued everywhere in Idaho. It's not coming down to where it should. So that also makes me think that the cases are probably understating how much COVID activity is going on. And then finally, I look at hospitalizations, because if we're really at the end of the BA5 surge that we've been through, you would expect those hospitalization numbers to be coming down. They have at least kind of plateaued off also. And frankly, if you look at the last couple of days, you could almost see a little uptick there. So I don't think things are as bad as we've had in the past, but I don't think things are as good as the case numbers might suggest.
So what do you think we should be looking at moving forward, in particular as we go into flu season? Are you concerned we might see an uptick in COVID cases?
I am. And so, you know, we have talked before. I still do not believe that COVID is a seasonal virus. But with that said, we have had COVID surges in the fall or winter or both every year. And so one just on that basis would expect it wouldn't be shocking if we did again. Number two, if you look at many of the forecasting models, they all predict that we are going to have an uptick. Three, as I've mentioned often on this show, one of the ways that I try to predict what's going to happen for us is just by looking at other countries across the world. And what we're seeing is that in Europe, particularly, about 15 countries, they have just now in the last week or two started having a big uptick. And what we know is that oftentimes we see our own surges show up there first. And then 3-4 weeks later, we see a surge here in the United States. So that would kind of suggest that, yes, we may be in for a surge. The fourth thing is, this time of year, kids are all back in school. And and we know that we didn't think it was true for COVID in the first year or so of the pandemic, but it's been clear now that children do get and transmit and can be a source of COVID outbreaks. And we've known for a long time that they are for influenza. So especially those parents that have school-age kids, you know, this is the time of year over the next 3, 4, 5 months that you're going to be seeing them get a lot of respiratory infections. It won't all be COVID, won't all be flu, but those will be mixed in. The other factor that gives me concern is that we have a combination of a whole bunch of new variants that are very concerning. And what has happened is it's something that we call convergence, that these variants are kind of figuring out which mutations are the best. And now, although we see variation among all of these variants, they tend to be all deciding, yes, I want to have this mutation. And there's a collection of these. And what it's showing us is that whereas in the first part of the pandemic up to this year, the way the virus evolved was to keep getting more transmissible. And that was the advantage. But starting this year, the virus is really focused on getting around immunity. And these variants that we have on our watch that are in very low amounts, but they're out there, are the most evasive of the immunity, whether it's infection or vaccination, that we've ever seen. And recent studies looking at the people, your listeners now are used to hearing about neutralizing antibodies, antibodies that will actually prevent the virus from entering the cells. What we have found that I'm very concerned about is that some of these variants that I've got an eye on can completely get around the monoclonal antibodies that we have and Evusheld, which is what protects our immune compromised persons. And so that is very concerning. And that coupled with the fact that a lot of people's immunity may be waning because they haven't gotten boosters. They may have gotten one shot or two shot, but didn't get their boosters or haven't gotten a booster in, you know, more than 7 or 8 months. Those are the groups that I'm really worried about because perhaps these new variants are going to be able to get around that variant, even or that immunity, even if those people think they're protected. So we're watching. I don't know what's going to happen, but I am concerned.
Dr. Pate, before we go to break, you know, you mentioned how, you know, at first it was, you know, the transmission happened because of, you know, transmission person to person, and that's how we got these new variants. Now this, you know, now it's trying to figure out how to get around immunity. Is this typical in a, when there is a pandemic or an epidemic? And I ask that because, you know, for the majority of us, this is the first time in our lives we've ever seen a pandemic. So we don't know, you know, what the phases look like, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. And to answer your question, this is not surprising. And it's because of two things. One is this is an RNA virus as opposed to a DNA virus. DNA viruses do mutate, and we've seen, you know, the monkeypox is a DNA virus, and we have seen mutations in that. However, it mutates much, any DNA virus mutates much less than RNA viruses do. And then the second thing is, as you know, after Americans lost patience, in fact, the whole world lost patience with protections after a couple of months, and we just decided to kind of let this virus have its way. Each time that transmits, we're just giving it another opportunity to mutate. So you and I talked starting back in 2020, and I warned that we have to do things to mitigate transmission. Even if you're not worried about it putting people in the hospital or killing them, you still need to control the transmission, because if you don't, it will mutate. And eventually it will mutate in a way that it will get around our immunity, and that now we are there. So now other RNA viruses that have started to create pandemics didn't get this far, but that was because we took action and we did something about them. So if you think back to the SARS-1 epidemic that almost was a pandemic, the MERS, first of all, they were far more lethal, so we took them more seriously, but they were mostly in other countries that do take controlling these diseases more serious.
Okay, good information to have. Dr. Pate, we've been getting lots of questions in regards to COVID boosters and flu shots. So Barb writes in, can we get our COVID booster and our flu shot at the exact same time? And I have to ask this question, Dr. Pate, because just the other night, I said to my husband, I'm like, we need to go get our flu shots this weekend. And he said, well, can we get them that close together since we just got the booster? And I was like, you live with me and you don't know that answer?
Well, I guess he's probably too busy to listen to the show. But
exactly.
It's a great question. And the answer is yes. You can get them at the same time. You should get them in different arms. And my recommendation is get your COVID booster in the same arm that you got it last time, get your flu shot in the other arm.
Oh, okay. And why is that?
Well, when you react to a vaccine and you develop, you know, we always talk about the antibodies, but there's a cellular part of the immune system. And those are B cells, which make the antibodies, and T cells, which actually, we just got a new article out this week that demonstrates that actually T cells will help prevent you from getting infected. And it is the reason that we have not been getting severe illness as we have suspected. And it lasts a lot longer than antibodies. But the key thing is where the vaccine gets introduced, the immune cells respond there and they take them to lymph nodes that are very close to that injection site, and that's where you start processing them. So there has been one article that came out that did suggest you might get an even better immune system response if you do it in the same arm. It's not a big deal. If you forget, you get confused, don't worry, just get the booster. But if you got your wits about you and you remember this and you want to just try for a little extra credit, get your COVID in the same arm as last time, get your flu in the other arm.
So then Karen writes in, she wants to know if we have any idea when the Moderna bivalent booster will be available in the Treasure Valley. Because I know right now, Dr. Pate, most people I know have gotten the Pfizer one.
Yes, it is available in the Treasure Valley. You may have to search around a little bit. I've got my wife and I scheduled for that one on this Friday. I went through St. Luke's, but there's other places that do have it. And I think maybe early on there was more Pfizer distributed, but I think Moderna is catching up. So I think if you check again now, you're going to find it more places. And so you should be able to get your pick now.
Bill just wrote in, Dr. Pate, and he said he's recovering from COVID. So he wants to know, when should he get a flu shot? And then he also asks, should I request a more potent vaccine?
Okay, so he's talking about, he just had COVID and now he's talking about the flu vaccine? Okay, and did he say if he's over 65?
He did not.
Okay, so here's the answer to that. I'll give both scenarios. If he is over 65, then he can get the flu vaccine whenever he's feeling better from COVID, but he should get the high dose flu vaccine. It's there's about four of them, and any provider he goes to will know, but it's not the regular flu shot. Those of us that are old, that we're over 65, we need the high dose flu vaccine. Now, if he's under 65, then once he's feeling better from COVID, not running fever, then go in, get the flu shot, but he'll get the regular one.
So I had no idea that there was a more potent flu shot. Is this, and do you have to request this, Dr. Pate, or if you are over the age 65, do they just automatically give you that?
It depends on where you go. When you go to healthcare providers, you know, if you're going to the hospital or a doctor's office, they generally know and they will know to give you the high dose. Some of the pharmacies don't. Some of the pharmacies don't carry the high dose. They only have the regular. And look, same thing as what we were talking about before on the flu shot. If the only place you have time for or the only place you find just has the regular shot and you're over 65, go ahead and get that. That's better than not getting the flu shot. But if you have the option, if you're over 65, what we find is that when they increase the dose, and what we do is we include four strains in this, and you increase the dose, you get a better response. So that is what you want to get if you can get it. But essentially every hospital or doctor's office for sure is likely to have that.
Okay. And Susan writes in and she says, I'm 67 years old. I've received four vaccines. The last was in April. I'm healthy. I'm active. I don't have any underlying conditions. I only take medication for my thyroid. She got COVID this month and or in September. She wants to know how long she should wait before she gets the new bivalent vaccine because she says she's heard everything from 3 weeks to 6 months.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. The messaging out there, unfortunately, is not where we'd want it to be. So first of all, good for her at her age being in good health. I applaud that. I'm sorry she got COVID. Now, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the official recommendation when she should get it. And then I'm going to tell her the theoretical recommendation based on immunology. So the CDC guidance is wait 3 months. So if she got it in September, whatever that was, do it that same day or after in December. That's the official recommendation. Now, the other thing is there's a debate among immunologists whether you get more benefit by giving it a little bit more time. The reason for this is your immune response and system is not static. It is always evolving. And after you have an infection like she did, it's going to continue evolving. And people think, the immunologist tells, it gets better and it gets broader. Mm. And so the point is you might want to wait till 4 to 6 months and then boost because then you're boosting an even broader response. That's theoretical. That's not the official guidance. That's not that we can say for sure the science is settled on that. But wait at least three. Don't wait no more than six.
All right. As always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate you coming on. And if you have questions in regards to public health, whether it's about COVID, the flu, any other public health issues, email us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. And Dr. Pate will be back with us next week. Thanks so much, Dr. Pate.
Thank you, Gemma.
This is the Idaho Matters podcast. I'm Gemma Gaudette. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast to get all of our episodes every weekday right to your smartphone. And thanks so much for listening.